You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Daniel. Today, Pastor Sandy covers two chapters, Daniel chapters 9 and 10.
Now, Daniel remembers the time of the day that the angel Gabriel arrived and came to him. He remembers that it was at the evening sacrifice. Now, this is interesting to me. For Daniel has been away from Jerusalem now for 67 years. The temple has been lying in ruins for a generation. There had not been an evening sacrifice for 7 decades. Yet Daniel still reckons time based on the temple worship. His home might have been in Babylon, but obviously his heart had never left Jerusalem. And likewise, our home might be this world, but our hearts needs to be in the heavenlies with our Lord Jesus. And Gabriel's timing here was no accident. The evening sacrifice, as with all the sacrifices, spoke of Jesus. Moses had ordered in Numbers 28 that an unblemished lamb, 1 year old, was to be offered to God each evening. The evening sacrifice occurred at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And recall, it was at 3 p.m. that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was our unblemished lamb who knew no sin. He was our evening sacrifice. Gabriel is about to unveil specific details about the Messiah. That's why it's no accident that when he arrives, he does so. His arrival points to Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 22, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision.'" And the vision that Gabriel is about to reveal to Daniel is known as the 70 weeks of Daniel. An accurate grasp of this vision is crucial to understanding end times prophecy. This is one of the most intriguing, phenomenal, faith-building chapters in all of the Bible. Now understand, Daniel's concern is the future of his people and of the holy city, Jerusalem. His concern is the Jews in Jerusalem. After 70 years now in exile, the Jews are about to be released. Daniel won't live to see what happens, and so God shows him what is determined upon Israel in advance. Verse 24 begins, "70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city." Now, in God's eyes, humanity is broken down into 3 people groups. There are the Jews, there is the church, and there are the Gentiles, or the lost world. This prophecy relates to only one of those 3 groups. It doesn't relate to the church, nor does it relate to the Gentiles. These 70 weeks, notice, are determined for the Jews and for Jerusalem. Now, Gabriel says that a time frame is determined, or it's divided out. It's marked off on God's calendar. Understand, God has blocked off on his day timer a period of 70 weeks to accomplish certain purposes for Israel. And understand the language here. The word week in our text is actually the Hebrew word for 7. So literally, God is reserving a period of 70 sevens. But here's the question. 7 what? 7 hours? 7 days? 7 years? There are 3 reasons why I believe that this refers to 70 periods of 7 years. First, to speak of a week of years in Daniel's day was a very common phrase. You know, we speak of years in terms of groups. We talk about 10 years as being a decade. Well, the Hebrews spoke of years in groups of 7. Second, Daniel 12, verse 11 mentions a period of 1,290 days from the defilement of the temple to its purification. Now, that period is roughly equal to the last half of Daniel's last week. Thus, if a half of week is right at 3.5 years, then a full week would then be 7 years. Daniel 12, verse 11. Then the third reason I believe that these weeks are periods of 7 years is that Moses commanded that every seventh year the land should rest. The field should go uncultivated. This would replenish the nutrients. This would keep the farmland fertile. This was good wisdom. But because of the greed of the Jews, they ignored this command. And it was 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21, that tells us it was for 490 years, or 70 periods of 7 years, that they failed to let the land rest. They violated 70 Sabbath years. That's why they spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. See, God saw to it that the land would get its rest one way or the other. And so here's the point. It took the Jews 77s, or 490 years, to get into their trouble, and God has allowed it the same amount of time to get the Jews out of trouble. And here are the 6 promises that God is going to accomplish in this coming 490 years. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. First, in this 490 years, God is going to end the transgression. This is the cosmic revolt led by Satan. Satan is going to be sacked. The next 2 promises address the issue of sin. Second, God is going to stop the sinner. He's going to make an end of sins. And third, he's going to cancel out sin. He's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. He's going to issue a pardon and establish a means by which sinners can find peace with a holy God. Fourth, God is going to complete our salvation. He's going to bring in an everlasting righteousness. That means that everything that sin has defiled is going to be cleansed, and it's going to be made right with God again. Everything. Fifth, he is going to confirm the scriptures. He's going to seal up the vision and prophecy. All of God's promises are going to be fulfilled. And then sixth, God is going to cleanse the temple. He's going to anoint the holy place or rededicate the temple in Jerusalem. Now, how many of these promises have been kept? Only one. The third. On the cross, Jesus made reconciliation for iniquity. Some of the others have seen partial fulfillments, but not a total fulfillment. Yet understand the promise. God vows to fulfill all 6 of these promises over a period of 490 years. Now, verse 25 gets very specific. God puts parameters on this time frame. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. Now here's the starting point for these 70 weeks or this 490 years. The going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. That occurred, you can read about it, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. It occurred on March the 14th, 445 BC. That's when the Persian king Artaxerxes issued to a Jew named Nehemiah orders to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls around the city. Now, God breaks down these 77s into 3 groups of weeks. Notice there is 7 weeks, then there's 62 weeks, and then there's 1 week. The first seven, or 49 years, takes us from 445 B.C. to 397 B.C., which was the time of Malachi and the culmination of the Old Testament canon of Scripture. The second section, which includes the first seven, 7 plus 62 weeks, equals 69 weeks. So from the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Mashiach Nagid, or the Messiah the Prince, there shall be 483 years. Now when we compute Daniel's dates, realize where the prophet is living at the time. He's in Babylon. And the ancient Babylonians used a 360-day per calendar year. That means 69 weeks or 483 years equals 173,880 days. So realize what our text is telling us. Add 173,880 days to March the 14th, 445 B.C., and you'll discover the exact day that the Messiah will present himself to the Jews and to Jerusalem. He is identifying here the promised Savior. Now, to extrapolate this out onto our Julian calendar, you have to do some technicalities. There's some leap years you have to account for. There's some other nuances in the calendar. Robert Anderson, in his classic book, The Coming Prince, does an excellent job with these tedious calculations. But after all the technicalities get applied, Anderson concludes that 173,880 days from March the 14th, 445 B.C., brings you to April the 6th, 32 A.D. And do you know what happened on that day? That, my friends, was the Sunday before the Passover, when Jesus rode his donkey down the Mount of Olives and formally presented himself to the nation as their Messiah. The crowd knew what he was doing. They sang a messianic psalm, Psalm 118, and they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now." Realize 570 years in advance, Daniel is shown the exact day God's Messiah will come to save his people. Is that amazing or what? It's ironic. His triumphant entry was the only public demonstration Jesus ever orchestrated, let alone allowed. He knew Daniel's prophecy, and he cooperated with its fulfillment. This is why in Luke chapter 19, Jesus wept when he saw that the Jewish leaders had rejected him. He cried, "If you had known, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, you did not know the time of your visitation." Jesus knew what was going on. Daniel had booked an appointment for Israel to meet its Messiah. Yet sadly, the Jews had missed their appointment. And the Lord held them responsible for not recognizing the time of their visitation. Even to this day, the Jews refuse to even consider this Daniel chapter 9 prophecy. There is a famed 13th century rabbi named Maimonides who wrote a letter entitled Igaret Timon. He said in this letter, "Daniel has elucidated to us the profundities of the knowledge of the end times. However, since they are secret, the wise," that is the wise rabbis or the wise Jews, "barred the calculation of the days of the Messiah's coming so that the untutored populace will not be led astray when they see that the end times have already come, but there is no sign of the Messiah. For this reason, the wise have decreed, 'Cursed be he who calculates the end times.'" You see what they're doing. Because the Jews might interpret Daniel's prophecy and see that it points directly to our Lord Jesus, They were forbidden by their rabbis from even engaging in its calculations. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the blindness that has come upon Israel. But the prophecy isn't over. Verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. Between the end of the 7 plus 62, or the 69th week, between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week, there is a gap of an unspecified period of time in which two events are going to occur. First, Messiah will be cut off. The Hebrew term karath implies a violent death or an execution, literally. And as we know, 4 days after Jesus' triumphant entry, what happened? He was rejected by the people and he was crucified. As Daniel puts it, Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. And it's true. Jesus was innocent of any wrongdoing. He died in our place as a sacrifice for our sins, not for himself, but for us. But Daniel mentions another event that is going to happen between the 69th and 70th week. Jerusalem and the temple will be destroyed. He says, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. That's an idiom for an invasion. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. This war's results are going to be devastating. Now, this destruction occurred in 70 AD when the Roman general Titus and 4 Roman legions leveled the city of Jerusalem. The Romans killed over 1 million Jews. They burned the temple to the ground and they scattered the Jews to the nations all around the world. So, for the last 2 millenniums, the Jews have been living as strangers in a strange land. They've been dispersed. It's called the diaspora. Now, we know from this prophecy that the gap of time between the 69th and 70th week consists of at least 38 years, for Jesus was cut off in 32 AD, whereas Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed in 70 AD, 38 years later, and both those events come between the 69th and 70th week. In reality, though, this gap of time is much, much longer. In the New Testament, Paul writes to the Romans that God is now working among the Gentiles, that God has temporarily set aside the Jews in order to build his church. In Romans 11, verse 25, he explains, hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. This gap of time between the 69th and 70th weeks of Daniel is now being used by God to extend salvation to the Gentiles and to build his church. In the New Testament, Paul calls this a mystery. It was a development that was hidden from the Hebrew prophets. They were only focused on the 70 weeks because that was what was determined on the Jews in Jerusalem. They didn't see the gap between the 69th and 70th week. And that gap of time is now 1,984 years and counting. But there is, determined upon the Jews in Jerusalem, a 70th week, a final period of 7 years. There has to be in order to fulfill God's 6 promises. And remember, these 6 promises are determined on Israel. This is one reason I believe the church will be raptured before the start of the 70th week, or that last period of 7 years we later call the Great Tribulation. And he gives us parameters for that last week. He says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Now this final week begins when a ruler signs a treaty with Israel. And according to the previous verse, this ruler is the prince of the people who destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, or the ruler of Rome. In Isaiah 28, verse 15, we're told that one day Israel will make a covenant with death. Isaiah calls it an agreement with hell. And this is when it happens. At the outset of this final week, this 70th week of Daniel. Now remember what we talked about back in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7. The last empire before the return of the Messiah will be a mixture of iron and clay, or a revival of ancient Rome. Today, the European Union represents just such a political entity. And the ruler of this last day's Rome is the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, the Antichrist. Apparently, Daniel's 70th week begins when the Jews sign a treaty with the Antichrist, or with this little horn. Perhaps this is the long-awaited peace accord between the Israelis and the Palestinians. This treaty might be what allows the Jews to rebuild their temple. Yet once it's signed, you can count 3.5 years. And at the middle of this final week, this final 7-year period, this Roman ruler is going to break his covenant and he is going to stop the temple sacrifices. In chapter 8, verse 13, we saw that this is what Antiochus did in the days of the Maccabees. Daniel referred to it as the transgression or the abomination of desolation. Here, the same terminology is used for what's done by the Antichrist in the last days. On wings of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. Again, Jesus used the same terminology in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, when he referred to this same last day's event as the abomination of desolation. This is a big deal in the eyes of God. In the middle of this final week, this final 7-year period, this Roman ruler is going to interrupt the sacrifices and he's going to claim to be God. This blasphemous act on the part of this ruler will incite God's judgment. As a result, the Antichrist's insolence will bring upon this deserving world God's wrath in full bore. Great desolation will occur. The book of Revelation tells us that God's judgments conclude with the return of Jesus at the end of this 7 years. The Antichrist will be destroyed and God's kingdom will be established. Now, Gabriel's description of this last week makes five assumptions that leads me to conclude that this final period of judgment just might be right around the corner on our calendars. First, this obviously assumes that Israel has been regathered to their ancient land and is a nation once more. After 2,000 years living in exile, this occurred at 12:01 a.m. on May the 15th, 1948. Against all odds, the modern state of Israel was born. Second, the Temple Mount, this assumes that the Temple Mount will be in Jewish hands and that the temple will be rebuilt. The Antichrist can't stop the sacrifices unless they've been restarted. And it was during the Six-Day War of 1967 that the old city of Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, was seized by the Israelis. Since June 1967, there has been growing interest by committed, well-organized, well-funded Jews to rebuild their temple. Plans are underway even as we speak. A third assumption. The final week of Daniel requires a revival of Rome. And that is exactly what has happened with the fall of communism and the emergence of the European Union. Europe now leads the way toward global unification.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.